We are very much looking forward to your participation in the 2-7 Training Clinic. The 2-7 Series Discipleship Training has been very effective. Hundreds of laymen and women have received this personalized training in a variety of churches across the United States. In fact, some churches in other countries are also using this discipleship curriculum. The 2-7 Series is composed of 6 12-week courses taught over a 2-year period. Each course is built upon the work done in the previous course. During the training clinic, you will not only receive specific instruction in the use of the 2-7 materials, but you will also learn the underlying principles and philosophy behind the specific classroom activities and materials. The purpose of the weekend is to orient pastors and to prepare you, the layperson, to teach courses 1 and 2 in the 2-7 series. Some of you, after attending the clinic, may decide that you would feel more comfortable being an assistant instructor the first time through the material. Then, at a later date, you might like to have your own group to lead. Most of you, however, will be planning to lead a group as soon as you are qualified to use the material. At any rate, the intent of the weekend is to take you through all of courses 1 and 2 and to equip you to instruct others in these first 2 courses. After you have taught at least course 1, you will have the opportunity to receive training in how to most effectively lead courses 3 through 6. During the training weekend, you will receive the student and instructor materials for courses 1 and 2 and some additional instructional material. Here we have sent you some printed and taped material that will assist you in preparing for the training clinic weekend. It is very important that you start early and that you do a thorough job of preparation before coming to the clinic. It will take you about 5 hours to prepare adequately for the training clinic. You will notice the enclosed assignment on pages 1 and 2. Look through the assignment carefully, then begin work as soon as possible. Set aside several blocks of time for completing your pre-training clinic assignments. Your most time-consuming preparation will be in writing out your personal testimony according to the guidelines discussed later on this tape and listed in the printed materials you have received in this packet. This testimony work in particular cannot be left until the last minute. Let's be praying together for the weekend, shall we? That God will truly meet us. That there would be an attitude of being eager and open to learn. Pray for the training clinic instructors who will be leading your weekend. Pray for thorough and wholehearted preparation on the part of all of those attending. Time for getting the work done. Insight and wisdom in preparation. The rest of this tape is devoted to thorough instruction on how to prepare your personal testimony before coming to the training clinic. You will find it valuable to listen carefully to this tape twice before starting the actual writing of your testimony. You will find the training clinic weekend stimulating, informative, and invaluable in preparing you to use the 2-7 series curriculum in a life-changing way in the lives of people. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
A prepared personal testimony is probably the most versatile tool a Christian has in his arsenal for ministry use. On pages 3 through 11 in your printed material, we will be going through the principles, the guidelines, the techniques, the methods for putting together your personal testimony. You will want to be looking at the printed material as you listen carefully to this tape. You may want to take notes on each page. For certain, you will want to come back and listen to the whole tape a second time before you go to work. The basis for preparing this type of personal testimony would perhaps be Acts chapter 26. Here is Paul's defense before Agrippa. He gives his personal testimony. And we see that his testimony was divided up into 3 distinct parts. A before, how his life was before coming to Christ, the how, exactly how he came to Christ, the Damascus Road experience in his case, the after, personal benefits. We will prepare our testimony to measure up to that format. If we were to read Paul's testimony before Agrippa aloud, depending on which version, it runs just over 3 minutes. The last time I read it, it ran 3 minutes and 20 seconds. So these are the guidelines as far as time, as far as biblical basis. If you would turn to page number 4 in your materials, this will be the first page we will discuss concerning the testimony. It is entitled, Preparing a Personal Testimony, General Comments. Item A, the primary aim is for you to complete and present your personal salvation testimony from an outline on a 3x5 card. That will be your goal for the training clinic. That is the goal for the student in Course 2. Item B, number of drafts. I won't read those few sentences there. But the number of drafts has nothing to do with the intelligence nor the spirituality of the person preparing the testimony. It has everything to do with complexity of the story. Item C, difficult but rewarding. This is a traumatic experience. It is difficult. It is hard work. Satan seems to oppose this work because it is so effective in so many settings, in evangelism, in our ministry to other Christians. We are constantly dipping into this reservoir of material that we've put together in preparing the personal testimony. Pray for the others coming to the training clinic. Pray for yourself. You will find some opposition and inertia in even completing this work in preparation for the training clinic. Item D, workshops. The testimony is worked on in course number 2. In class number 9 in course 2, we set aside the whole time for working on testimonies in the workshop format. We will spend 3 to 4 hours. The students will write their testimony, then rewrite it, then write it again. When you come to the training clinic, you will have your testimony half completed. You will have done 2 drafts. You will come to the training clinic. We will probably take 1 or 2 more drafts to put your testimony in final form. You will experience the workshop format at the training clinic so that you can duplicate the same format in class session number 9 in course 2 when you teach the testimony. Page 5 is the grape illustration. Various types of testimonies one can accumulate through Christian experience. We have written in the central grape. This would be the primary testimony. We have written in salvation, colon, how I received eternal life. These other grapes would represent other areas of life where you or I would develop testimonials. We could give testimonials about answers to prayer, about victory over sins, about guidance from God, about benefits of stewardship, about lordship, and so forth. The testimony that we are preparing for the training clinic, the type of testimony that will be used in the 2-7 series classroom work, will be this central salvation testimony. Salvation is a jargon word, but we can use it to describe what we're after. So we want to keep it on that central issue. That is the purpose of the grape illustration. Now let's cover your printed pages 6 through 8, helps for preparing your personal testimony. We will go in detail through this material. This is what you will refer to in writing your own testimony, and this is the material you need to be highly conversant with as you become an instructor. Just to set the stage for what you will be walking into in the training clinic weekend, you will do your preparation of your homework, your preparation of the material we have sent you in printed form. You will write out your personal testimony based on these guidelines and principles. Then you will record your testimony if you have access to a recorder, or simply read it aloud and sort of listen to yourself. And you will analyze that first draft as though you were the instructor and the person you were listening to on the tape, which is your own testimony. You would analyze them as though this person was, in fact, your student. So when you come to the training clinic, you will have written out your testimony based on the principles. You will have rewritten it then, coming with your second draft in hand. Let's go through this page and on through the following pages related to the personal testimony. You will notice in the opening of this first page that there are three issues that we're trying to keep in mind as we prepare the testimony. Number one, that it will be designed to be given to a non-Christian. The testimony is not designed to give at church, not designed to give at Sunday school, not designed to give to Christian brother or sister, but to give to an unchurched person, a person who doesn't know our religious jargon, doesn't know our terminology, has not experienced much input as far as biblical background, perhaps. Secondly, it will be best suited sharing one-on-one or in a small group. It can be tailored to be given to a large group after this work is done, but it will be very informal, casual. The type of terminology will be in it that you would use one-on-one in simple conversation. The third issue is that the testimony serves as a door opener, not as a convincing tool. We are not going to try to convince them with the testimony to come to Christ, but we want them to get the impression that something has happened to us personally, related to the person of Christ, that has changed our life, enriched our life, but we will not try to talk them into this thing. 20 years ago, we could walk onto a campus, present a personal testimony, and see students commit their lives to Christ. We are seeing the trend both on campuses and with working people in cities, professional people, business people, that they have less biblical background, and so we have to do more sowing, more watering, before this person is ready to come to Christ. So the testimony will be used to get the door open to go on into presenting the gospel, to be more direct in our presentation of how they can come to Christ. Capital A on this page, we've already alluded to this earlier in relating to Acts 26. There's a before, how, and after. The explanations there, I think, are thorough enough to understand the layout. Capital B, we are getting into the guidelines for preparing the more specific content. So let's go through 12 principles. It has taken dozens and dozens of testimonies to be analyzed to come up with this list, but you will find this to be very helpful as you set out to write your personal testimony. Number one, make it sound conversational. We prepare the material to be spoken, not to be read. Most of us, because of our background in school, everything that we prepare was to be read for understanding, not even to be read aloud, but simply to be read. And here we're writing something that will be spoken. It maybe is the difference between an author and a playwright. A playwright writes materials which will be spoken in a theater, in dramatics, by people who will read the material, and it hopefully will come out as though the person had spoken it in normal conversation. An author writes material which will be read for content. So keep this in mind. Use words that you use in everyday speech as you write this. You'll notice the example, "I viewed the crimson sunset and pondered." It does not sound genuine. Let's listen to a segment of tape right here out of the classroom. Even though the following example is being read, you can see that there is a conversational tone about it, and there's an enjoyment in telling the story at this point.
I grew up in a very small town where practically everyone is related. My parents owned and operated a filling station and cafe. They both worked long hours just to make a living. I was determined to get a good education so that I could have a good career and not have to work as hard as my parents.
Our second guideline, say I and me, not you, share, don't preach. The difference, of course, between sharing and preaching, in sharing, we say I, me, we're personal, we're casual. When we say you and your, we're pointing the bony finger and saying, you need to shape up on this. Here is what you need to do. So we want I and me all the way through here. The place this becomes difficult is in the how. We see very frequently in the classroom the person who was in a meeting, the speaker spoke to them, so us and we sneaks in there. Or even the speaker said, you need to do this or that. Here is a good example where I and me was used very conversationally, and us, we, you, all of these were avoided.
I was desperate to understand why my life was such a failure when I had tried so very hard to make it a success. I blamed everything and everybody and was filled with self-pity and was very depressed.
Item number 3, avoid religious words, phrases, and jargon. There are several examples that are given here. On the left-hand column, the religious words we have found most prevalent in the classroom, and then the possible substitutes for those. Keep in mind that the listener does not have the biblical orientation and background, perhaps, that you or I might have. We don't want to use coded words. We don't want to use words with which they are not familiar. Our objective is communication. Our objective is to get our idea across to them. Most of the testimonies that you hear as examples on these various points have avoided religious jargon. I would like to play a segment here. Of course, any negative examples we play for you under these 12 points, these people have cleared it up on a later draft. But here's a segment where it's really loaded with religious jargon, which would need to be eliminated in order for this testimony to really communicate to a broad segment of humanity without the biblical orientation.
It wasn't long before I got under conviction of sin. The Bible laid my heart bare before my very eyes, and I saw as never before that all of my self-righteousness and churchianity was as unclean rags before the eyes of a holy God. And my sense of guilt became so acute that I made up my mind that I wouldn't attend any more of the meetings.
Another type of jargon that once in a while will crop up in a testimony is secular jargon, simply using technical words from a specific field that will not communicate. This would be an example of that.
My wife's religious activities, together with the rationalistic humanism of science and philosophy in college.
Item number 4, generalize so more people can identify with your story. Don't give the name of specific churches, denominations. Avoid using dates and ages. The examples here, poor examples. I was 7 years old when I became a Christian. We moved to the city in 1956. We want to generalize so that a broader segment can listen to this and not be detracted from the main content of what we're trying to say. On some testimonies, we're finding people coming to Christ as early as 3.5 years old, 4 years old. And so it becomes necessary to generalize that conversion by saying something like this. Instead of saying, when I was 5 years old, I heard this message or this person talked to me, I committed my life to Christ. That would not be general enough. So we would turn around and say, while I was growing up, I heard the basic information that the Bible teaches. Fact of sin, penalty of sin, Christ paid the penalty, must receive. So there we have just taken a 5-year-old testimony and we've expanded it to where it could be the testimony of someone who came to Christ at age 18, 20, while they were still at home. So generalize to broaden the audience. We may not want to name specific sins. This may be too specific. We could generalize that, and instead of saying, I had a problem with drugs, or I had a problem with lust and sex, or I had a problem with drinking, we might choose to generalize and say, there was an area of my life which I was unable to gain control. And so a listener over here says, oh, it must have been drugs. Another one says, oh, it must have been sex. Another, it must have been alcohol. So it broadens our audience. You have to weigh that. You may choose to be specific on the the area which you had trouble. One of our earlier examples, the lady was specific, saying that she had a problem with depression. It is possible to go ahead and be specific on an area of need, but we don't want to alienate a segment of our audience. We don't want to eliminate part of the audience. We want to get as broad an audience as possible. Item number 5 includes some humor and or human interest. And it is true that when a person smiles or laughs, it does reduce tension. It is disarming. It increases the attention of the listener. So we want to include this somewhere in the testimony. I would say, just from our experience, that probably more people are capable of using human interest than are able to use humor. I suppose that we hear so much humor by professionals that it is difficult to compete with people who are really good at humor and try to say something that is, in fact, funny. A friend of mine, in his testimony, says, I was standing by a lamppost, smoking a cigarette and drinking a cup of coffee. And this man walked up to me and said, are you a Christian? And he said, I nearly smoked my coffee and drunk my cigarette. Well, I could not use that type of humor, but he can use it, and it fits him. Here's a segment that has mostly human interest, but an attempt at humor, and it seems to fit this individual well about running water. You had to run out and get it. That maybe would be corny for you or for me. It fits for him. But weigh this. Those things which in your everyday conversation have been interesting for others to listen to, chances are that is human interest, and it would work as a part of your testimony. Here is a sample that contains both humor and human interest.
We had running water in our house. We ran outside and brought it in. More than anything else, I dreamed of becoming a successful cartoonist and making a lot of money. This ambition remained with me and grew stronger as the years passed. I drew and sketched, sometimes when I should have been doing other things. I took every art course I could get in high school. I especially remember one man who was a very great help and encouragement to me during those years. He was a political cartoonist for the Denver Post.
Here's another brief example of human interest.
I can remember that on Saturday night when other boys my age were out looking for girls, I was out looking for a fight. As you can readily see, I still bear the scars of those fights, having had my nose broken 7 times.
Item number 6. One or two word pictures increases interest. And you see the example there. You don't just say, I grew up on my folks' farm. You might briefly describe the farm so the person listening could visualize that. Most of the time, you will use word pictures in the before. You want to use them sparingly. Probably you would only use 1 or 2 maximum in your testimony. You may not use any at all, but it is one of your options. Here's a good example of a clear word picture that fit in very nicely into the context of this testimony.
We went to a little country church. That church looked like a picture out of a calendar. It was a white church with a steeple, and it sat nestled in a pine grove. As we arrived that morning, the building was on fire.
Item number 7 in the before include both good and bad aspects of your life. Have a cushion of interesting, non-spiritual material at the beginning. There are examples of good aspects, examples of bad aspects, which are given to you there. The principle behind that, if we are talking to someone who lived a rather moral life and include only the bad aspects, they would have trouble identifying. If we were sharing the gospel with a person who had lived a very degraded, difficult life and knew the depths, and we only shared the good, they could not identify. So this will give us a broad audience if we can mention both the good and the bad dimensions of our life. Here is an example of that.
2 things I remember my father stressing were the importance of college education and engineering and doing the right thing. I achieved a college degree in physics and mathematics, but I didn't have much luck at being good. In fact, I became quite good at being bad. Although I achieved some material success, I had many problems in my personal life and in relationships with people.
Here are a couple more quick examples, segments out of this part of a testimony.
2 weeks out of high school, I found myself in the military, and again my morals took another downward plunge. I became concerned with the here and now, what pleased me and what I desired I did.
You can see on that short excerpt that he generalized his areas of problems and needs. He said he did what he pleased, and that allows people to read in. In other parts of his testimony, he was more specific, where he felt it wouldn't hurt the breadth of the audience. Here's another small segment.
During high school, I began to recognize an emptiness in my life. Athletic, social life, and academic success did not fill this void in my life.
Item number 8. In the how, we do 3 things. Number 1, communicate the gospel clearly and briefly. We need to include these 4 issues: fact of sin, penalty of sin, Christ paid the penalty, and must receive Christ. However, part of our philosophy, if you remember back at the beginning, is that this is not a convincing tool, but a door opener. So the policy that we have pursued, those of us that have worked with testimonies so much the last few years, is we will not quote any verses in the how. We will only paraphrase them. But we do want to give the content of the gospel in paraphrased form, these 4 issues. Here's an excellent example of where it was paraphrased. All 4 issues are included. This is well done. This would be the type of thing that you will want to do and you will want to see your students do.
It began when I became friends with Janet. She told me that according to the Bible, God had a wonderful plan for my life. She explained that the things I was doing wrong displeased God, and the penalty for my wrongdoing was eternal death. But when Jesus died on the cross, he paid that penalty for me. Therefore, to obtain eternal life, I needed to pray and ask Christ to come into my life and give me the gift of eternal life. One evening, as I was alone in my room, I prayed and asked Christ to enter my life.
The second issue in the how is to make the Bible the authority. It is important that the listener does not get the impression that the person speaking to us was the authority. The Bible is the authority. The third issue in the how is to use the word pray when referring to receiving Christ. Now we will replay the last example, and you can listen for all 3 issues in the how: the gospel, the Bible, the authority, and the word pray being used.
It began when I became friends with Janet. She told me that according to the Bible, God had a wonderful plan for my life. She explained that the things I was doing wrong displeased God, and the penalty for my wrongdoing was eternal death. But when Jesus died on the cross, he paid that penalty for me. Therefore, to obtain eternal life, I needed to pray and ask Christ to come into my life and give me the gift of eternal life. One evening, as I was alone in my room, I prayed and asked Christ to enter my life.
Perhaps you have experienced the same thing I have in sharing Christ with people. The times I've left it out that I said a prayer, there was a puzzled look on their face, that they were not clear what I did or what made the difference, that there was no clear-cut step taken. So in preparing the how, we want to keep those 3 things in mind, include the 4 points of the gospel, paraphrased, be sure the Bible is made the authority, and be sure that the word pray is used. Item number 9. In the after, rapidly conclude with 2 or 3 personal benefits of becoming a Christian. These may be current benefits. And as it is stated in this written material, the last sentence in your testimony should have this quotation or something similar to it: but the greatest benefit is I know that I have eternal life. And as it is stated in this written material, the last sentence in your testimony should have this quotation or something similar to it: but the greatest benefit is I know that I have eternal life. And it is true that the listener, the non-Christian who's listening to a testimony, will often comment on the very last thing that you or I say. If we say, wow, since I've invited Christ into my life, our family just has great stability and our marriage is really great, and then silence. Their first comment, oh, you have a great marriage. If we say, I have answers to prayer since coming to Christ. Silence. Their first comment, oh, you get answers to prayer. But if we say something like, but the greatest benefit is that I know that I have eternal life. Silence. Oh, you know you have eternal life. Yes, would you mind if I shared 4 or 5 verses out of the New Testament that explain this in more detail? Or may I show you a little booklet that explains this in more detail? Or let me draw you out a little diagram that explains this in more detail about what the New Testament says on the eternal life issue. So that gives you a springboard on in. Or you can set an appointment for a future time and say, maybe sometime we could sit down for 20 minutes or 30 and I could show you a little booklet or draw you a little diagram. So that is a perfect setup. Here is an excellent example of a rapid conclusion in the after. This lady mentions 3 benefits: peace, no longer depressed, not feeling sorry for herself, and then she immediately goes in, best of all, I know I have eternal life. We want to put in either 2 or 3 benefits. Because she wraps up so quickly, she can use 3. If you were to develop in more detail 2, it would come out about the same as 3 done quickly, as in this example.
My life is really different now. I have peace, and I'm no longer depressed, and I hardly ever feel sorry for myself anymore. But best of all, I know that I have eternal life.
Item number 10, avoid dogmatic statements which skeptics can question. The examples we have given you here, it would be poor to say, I prayed and I know that Christ came in. That type of comment they could question. We would prefer to say, since I invited him in, I have purpose and stability in my life. So we presuppose that he came in, but by making the dogmatic statement he came in, that is something that can be questioned. Another poor example, God has given me a wonderful husband, or God has given me a wonderful wife, or God gave us our 2 children or our 3 children. The non-Christian can turn right around and say, well, we have 3 children, and we don't even know God, what does that have to do with it? Or we've been married for 14 years, and what does God have to do with that? This is a very small point, number 10, but it's good to keep in mind to eliminate any area within the testimony that could be attacked by the more skeptical kind of person. Item number 11, sound adult, not juvenile. And as stated in your written material, we need to reflect an adult viewpoint even though we were converted at an early age. We are finding people in the classroom who would trace their conversion back to a point 3.5, 4 years old, 4.5, 5, way back there. But those to whom we share our testimony, they will be adults, they will be our peers. We need to prepare it so it will, in fact, sound adult. If you or I would have an opportunity to minister to people who are in the age bracket we were in when we received Christ, then we could turn right back around and use the same terminology that was used with us and our response to it. Here are 2 examples that would reflect a too young or too juvenile presentation. And in later versions of these testimonies, they were made to sound adult. Here is 1 example.
We had a lot of fun, however, playing with the toys our parents made for us. Christmas was always a very exciting event. Though my parents were poor, Mom usually started very early making each child a special toy. I had 1 doll, and each Christmas Mom would make new clothes.
Here is another brief example.
But it was fun the day my dad brought home a baby deer that he found in the field. We fed Bambi with a baby bottle, and it grew from spots to antlers.
Item number 12, simplify, reduce clutter. You can see from your handout material that we want to talk about a limited number of people, cities, moves, meetings, and so forth. These examples are representative of the type of thing we want to see. The main issue in simplify and reduce clutter is we want the listener to be able to follow the line of our story. We don't want the confusion and clutter and all kinds of detail to so barricade them from the truth and the information that they can't get it. So we want to clear that all out and make the storyline simple to follow. Here is a negative example where in this earlier draft there is too much clutter.
A young preacher who was studying religion at an out-of-town university was spending weekends in our home to be with his girlfriend who had become a friend of my wife in graduate school.
You can see in that example that there were 7 separate things that he mentioned. This has totally blurred the communication of the main line of his story. There is a preacher. He was studying religion. He was from out of town. He spent weekends in their home. He wanted to be near his girlfriend. The girlfriend was a friend of the speaker's wife. The wife met the girl in graduate school. Here is a positive example. This particular method of uncluttering is simply to list rapidly several issues and not touch on them at all other than to state them. So this is another form of avoiding clutter.
The death of my mother, the birth of our first child, and my gaining my degree from college forced me to take a realistic look at my life, and I definitely did not like what I saw.
To review what we've covered concerning the helps for preparing a personal testimony, we want to keep in mind the audience. These are non-Christians. It's one-on-one. These are people in a small group. We're talking about a door opener, not a convincing tool. We are talking about 3 major parts in the content of the testimony, and then these 12 specific guidelines for preparing the content. Your next handout page is entitled The Sequence of Your Preparation, page 9. Item number 1, before you begin writing, pray for God's help. Look to Him for wisdom and insight as you work on your testimony. This is very key in your preparation before you come to the training clinic. It is also a very key issue when you start teaching the 2-7 series. For a person to be grappling with a segment of the testimony and to pray and say, "Now, Lord, give me insight into this part of my life as to what happened and bring to my mind things that would help communicate this issue." That type of prayer. You will want to do this as you write your testimony out. You may have prepared your testimony before, maybe several times. We want you to walk through it just as we will describe here in the sequence and to use the principles you've already been exposed to. Do pray that God will give you insight. If you've done it before, pray for a freshness in your work that you do now. Number 2, accumulate brief notes on 3 separate sheets of paper labeled 1, before, 2, how, and 3, after. So what you will do there is take the 3 sheets of paper, simply jot down anything that comes to mind. Had 2 brothers and 1 sister. Grew up in Madison, Wisconsin. Went to school at the University of Wisconsin. Transferred to Ames, Iowa. Had my first job in 3 states, and so forth. But just simply jot through there all the thoughts that come to mind under before, how, and after. In the how, you might try to recall the name of the person speaking, or you might try to describe where you were when this took place. All of those details, a brief note that you can refer back to. Item number 3, write out your first draft using your notes from 3 sheets of paper. It will usually take about 5 minutes to read. Apply the 12 guidelines. You will write then this first draft and then read it aloud. It should run about 5 minutes. It could run as short as, 3 minutes, even down to 2 minutes. If it's down to 2 minutes, you're going to have to add to it. So somewhere around the 3 to 4 minute category. Item number 4, make improvements in the long draft. Apply the 12 guidelines. You will notice the footnote. Your teacher will do most of the work in helping you accomplish this. This will be true when you go back and put on the 2-7 series in your church with your class. But for the purposes of the training clinic, we want you to do item number 4. So write your testimony out, draft number 1. Record it if you have a recorder. If you don't, read it aloud and jot notes down, or edit it just as a piece of paper. Then you will make those improvements and write the second draft. So you will have been your own teacher and will critique that first draft. And on the basis of your own critique, you will write your second draft. You will come to the training clinic with draft number 2. You will be assigned with 3 other people. There will be groups of 4. Preferably, you will be assigned with people you do not know. These will not be your relatives or your friends. We want you with people who will be impartial in listening to you, and we want you to be impartial listening to them. When you come to the clinic, we will brief you on other principles for critiquing testimonies before you work together in this small group. But it is really imperative that you have a written testimony in its second draft form when you come to the training clinic. Back to the classroom when you are teaching or I am teaching. Number 5, cut your draft down to between 2.5 and 3 minutes when you read it. Again, this will take place at the training clinic among the 4 of you assigned to a critiquing group. Number 6, outline your 3 to 4 minute presentation on a 3x5 card. Learn to give the testimony using only your outline. You will do this at the training clinic, and before the clinic is over, you will have given your testimony from the 3x5 outline to a segment of the group so they can hear it and enjoy the fruits of your work. 7, learn to give your testimony in 3 to 4 minutes without the outline. This is not required for the training clinic. This is not required in course 2 for the students. In course 2, they will prepare their personal testimony. It is not until course 3 that they will be required to give their testimony in 3 to 4 minutes without an outline. However, before you walk into the classroom to teach course 2 with your students, you will want to be able to give your testimony 3 to 4 minutes without any notes at all. This will give you credibility in that classroom. It will be a great motivation to the students to work hard and come up with the same capability that they have seen in your presentation. So for the training clinic, you don't need to go that far, but following the clinic, you will work on that. Then the note here, the first 6 points will be accomplished in this course, meaning course 2. Point 7 will be in course 3. Your next handout sheet is entitled 2 Testimony Formats, page 10. You have 2 options as to how to organize the testimony. 1 is chronological, 2 is the overview flashback. The chronological, you can see, is also diagrammed. We start at birth, go to salvation, bring it up to the current time. In chronological, we simply follow the story as it happens, and you can see the 3 issues that are listed are reasons for using the chronological format. Number 1, if you were converted later in life. That could be in teens, 20s, 30s, on up. But there must be enough material in order to follow a chronological pattern. Then item number 2, if you have enough interesting material to share prior to your conversion. So the person could be converted even in grade school, but have enough interesting material preceding that that it wouldn't matter. Item 3, if your conversion experience takes up most of your testimony because of the vitality and impact of the how, the before then should be relatively short. these would be reasons for determining to write yours in the chronological pattern. The other pattern is that of the overview flashback. And you can see in your printed material, it's described here that in this approach we give an interesting rapid overview right up to the present time. And then we will use a flashback which will jump back to the spiritual dimension of your life. The flashback may go back directly to the how part of your testimony, or it may go just before the how. That would get you into part of the before and lead on in to the how. Three reasons for using the overview flashback format would be if you came to Christ at an early age. If there really was no before to share, the overview and then the flashback will give you material prior to the how. Then two, if you had a drab early life but had a more interesting adult life, it's possible to move right into that adult life, then flashback to the spiritual dimension. Three, if your how is very short, then by having more of an overview material, you can go back and have a brief how and have it set up so that it will sound in proper proportion. So those are the two formats from which you will choose. Decide which you feel would be best for you, and then pursue that before coming to the training clinic. The next handout material we will cover is entitled Common Pitfalls in Initial Testimony Preparation, page 11. These five items are the items that in the field testing we have found to be the most common problems in working on the personal testimony. So this is not theoretical, this is based on actual field experience. Item A, too cautious in the first draft. Many people have the tendency to be too particular on the rough drafts. You're not attempting to make a perfect presentation the first time and so forth in your printed material. I don't know if we have ever heard a perfect testimony. The examples that we've given you under the 12 guidelines are good, but in any given testimony there will be weakness in it. In my personal testimony there are weaknesses. In yours there will also. But as you prepare for the clinic, jump right in, get a lot on paper. B, too much reminiscing. Item number one, some become sad or depressed because of too much introspection or review of past unhappy experiences. In preparation for the training clinic, if you have to delve into your past and there were some hard times, go in there, get the information you need, and get out. Don't let it get you down. Item two, some have the tendency to replay and relive past events so much that the actual written work gets left undone. This is directly proportionate to age, we have found in the field, in the classrooms. A person who is older will have a greater tendency to reminisce. Item three, some become too preoccupied with trying to reconcile old conflicts. Don't get caught in that as you do your preparation. Item C, introducing spiritual material too soon. Starting out with the spiritual and Christian material too early in the testimony is not good. Let them get acquainted with you as a person. This is part of the philosophy of this type of testimony. We want them to know you as a person. So do not introduce the spiritual material too early. Also, the content may be too spiritually oriented all the way through. Let them get to know you as a person, as another human being. If you pursue the chronological format, you will have a greater tendency to get spiritual material in too soon. If you follow the overview and flashback, you are less likely to come up with spiritual material. As you listen to draft one to critique it, specially listen for this one. There is a high incidence of violation of this in draft one. Item D, worrying too much about when you were converted. Often there are several possible times when an individual may have been converted. The group and the teacher can help you sort this out from your own experience. As you ponder this matter, you will often come up with new insights about yourself. If your situation is particularly complicated, the teacher or another qualified person can help you analyze your experience in more detail. In the meantime, put in writing the things that are clear to you. Now, one thing that is not stated in item D that you as an instructor need to know, that is put in there also for the person who is not a Christian, that we can catch them at this point and help them become a Christian. I think of a Monday night group. There was a fellow named Bert. Oh, he was in his 60s. He had been a test pilot on B-25s during World War II. He had owned his own airport. When he wrote draft one of his testimony, all he had was a before. He ended up saying, "And so I've been retired 2 years, and I'm the most miserable person in the world. I have never been so unhappy." Then silence. That was the end of draft one. So I said, "Bert, let me work with you on the side on this a little bit. You're really a third of the way done." Well, he was. He had a before. He just needed a how and an after, so he was a third of the way done. So we got together on the side, did a little Bible study on the side. So one Thursday there in his living room, he bowed his head and received Christ into his life. And so he was able then to complete his testimony. Hopefully there will be very few people slip into the 2-7 series who are not Christians. We will talk in detail about selection during the training clinic, but for now, that would be one of the reasons, and there are those who do slip in who are not Christians that will screen them. On the issue of when were you converted, if you have difficulty pinpointing a conversion time, like an early age, we who have been working with testimonies over and over the last few years feel that it's completely legitimate to use a lordship commitment as the focus for your testimony. Now, the way that we do this, and still be honest, is to put the 4 points of the gospel mentioned in the guidelines, fact of sin, penalty of sin, Christ paid the penalty and must receive Christ, to place the 4 issues of the gospel in close proximity to your prayer of commitment, if it was a lordship commitment. So to role play or to make up a testimony that would be typical where we use this approach, it would go something like this. My brother and I were riding along in the car after the meeting where we had heard the man speak. I had known from my earliest years that I did things wrong that displeased God, as did my brother and other relatives. I knew that the Bible taught that the penalty for what we've done wrong is eternal death. I knew that Christ had died on the cross to take my place, to free me from the penalty of my wrongdoing. I also knew that it was imperative to invite Christ into my life in order to have eternal life. So there in the car, on the way home from the meeting, my brother driving and I was sort of leaning back, thinking over, I said a prayer to God that was something like this. God, I thank you for your love for me, and right now I turn my complete life over to you. I'm grateful for Christ's death on the cross for me, and I want you to help me be what you want me to be and enrich my life the way you want to. So they're just a role play of how it might go. What happened to that individual that night was a lordship commitment. There had been an earlier commitment, age 12 or so, but there had been a time of not doing too well spiritually, and this was a lordship commitment. So there's another approach. Item E, procrastinating because it is a hard assignment. It will definitely take you several intense hours of work to complete this project. Putting it off will not make it easier. The sooner you jump into the work, the sooner you will be enjoying the finished product. This gives you the opportunity to be an example to your future students. If you can jump in and hit this, you'll be able to share with them It was difficult, but I stuck with it. I hit it. I worked on it. Those are the five areas we have found in the field to be the common pitfalls in initial testimony preparation. Here is a typical classroom testimony all the way through.
When I was 17, I left my folks' ranch for college. I enrolled at the University of Washington to study civil engineering. After I'd learned more about engineering in 3 years than I ever wanted to know, I got a job as an advertising salesman for a newspaper. This unlikely beginning led to some unpredictable events in four states and some opportunities to be involved in exciting business ventures across the country. But any real success that I had all began with a frightening experience that I had when I was growing up. One day I stood watching helplessly from a distance while my mother was charged by a bull. The bull hit her square in the chest and knocked her down, and as he turned to charge again, our collie dog took after the bull, and this gave my mother time to get up and make it to a fence a few feet away. She wasn't badly hurt, but watching this happen scared the wits out of me, and it started me thinking. I realized that someone could be killed right there on our farm, and it could even happen to me. And I wondered what would happen and where I'd be if I got killed. A few months later, I went to a camp in the mountains with a bunch of people my age, and everything they said there, every song they sang, made me miserable. I couldn't leave because we were too far back in the mountains. Finally, I got up my courage to talk to one of the fellows on the camp staff about eternal life. His name was Adam Baum. He showed me some statements in the Bible about eternity. He showed me from the Bible that I had done things wrong and displeased God, and that the punishment for this is eternal death. But God had a plan for me to choose eternal life instead. His son Jesus paid the penalty for my shortcomings by letting himself be put to death. Adam Baum told me how to receive this eternal life by saying a simple prayer. So I just told God, thank you for letting your son give me this eternal life. And I told God that I believed his promise that I would have eternal life. Since that time, I have been completely confident of where I'll be after I die. And I've also discovered that God has a plan for my life before I die. This includes a lot of rewarding experiences and personal friendships. My marriage and the relationship with our kids has been tremendously benefited. But the greatest benefit is that I know I have eternal life.